Welcome in to Rover Sports. Sports Talk here on a Tuesday night. We're here with Spencer G, Coach Josh Stace, our fearless producer, Mike Vito, and a lot swirling around here in the city of Philadelphia. We are WWDBAM.com. You can listen to us on any one of your devices.
Yep.
You could go at Bruce Grossinger Facebook, and you can hear most everybody, not always Mike Vito, but everybody else. And you could certainly, if you're driving around, and many of you are, in this traffic of this nice fall evening, you could go on 97.5 HD2. We're clear channel. HD1 is our sister station right down the hall. The Fanatic of Sports Talk, and we're here, and we're going to lead off with the big story here in Philadelphia. Seems to be changing hour to hour, minute to minute, and this is the Ben Simmons story. Spencer, why don't you give everybody here a little update about today's news, and we want to hear the input from Coach Josh and, of course, Mike Vito. So yeah. What happened today in the world of Ben Simmons, in the world of Welcome Down Under to Australia?
So Ben Simmons today showed up to practice at the Camden practice facility where the 76ers participate in their practices. And yesterday, Benjamin Simmons had a cell phone attached to his shorts, which I don't know if you've ever played basketball, but it's very hard to slide and do defense with a cell phone in your pocket. But today, Ben Simmons essentially quit on one of the drills. Can you lower it? Ben Simmons essentially quit on a drill in practice. Doc Rivers told him to do a defensive drill. He retaliated and he quit during practice. At that point, Doc Rivers, instead of letting Ben Simmons sit on the sideline, Doc Rivers said, "You know what, Ben? Go home, and you're suspended for tomorrow night. You're not boarding the plane to Louisiana. You're not going to play basketball in Louisiana tomorrow night. You are suspended for that Pelicans game." And that's exactly what Doc Rivers did. Embiid came out there in the post-game show, and he said, "Listen, this guy quit on our team. I don't care about him. I'm tired of babysitting him." And essentially the situation, Ben Simmons and has basically been just taking practice and sabotaging it, maybe to get traded. And this is a professional basketball player that is not doing the drills in which Doc has for him while all the other guys are doing the drill. And the Sixers are starting to really resent Ben Simmons in practice. And that's what's kind of transpiring today, is that one of the better players you could argue about Ben Simmons' value, but he's one of the highest-paid players on the team. He's missing game one, a perfectly healthy player, because he's not doing practice drills. I mean, this is something that you don't see every day in sports, Josh.
No, Spencer, it's not. Actually, you know, it's interesting. I've had the opportunity to speak to a couple people that have they know players inside the organization and throughout practice the last couple of days, and they're saying that Ben Simmons is barely practicing. He's barely practicing at all. You know, yesterday in particular, apparently he was doing a full court drill. They were playing up, getting up and down. He dribbled the ball off his foot, then turned the ball over shortly after, and Embiid called him out. A couple of the guys laughed. He took it personal and took himself out. Came back in after Doc made him get back into the game or get involved with the practice. And apparently Maxey and a couple of the other guys went at him a little bit in terms of the offensive end. And Ben doesn't want to be here. Everybody knows that. The best part is this. You know what, Doc? For the first time, we're holding these guys accountable. Hey, you signed a contract, $180 million. You've got to come in and you've got to be a part of it. Well, I don't want to be here. Well, perfect. Too bad. We're paying this this superstar, this generational talent, as we've labeled him. He's a fraud. I've said it for years. I think he stinks, okay, and he's so overrated. And this is how, you know what, he can't handle it. Doc, for the first time, someone's saying, "No, Ben, you're not getting your way."
Yeah, I agree with that, and certainly applaud. Greg LaMonica of LaMonica Law, great domestic lawyer in media, and of course Todd Schnitzer's great. He's got a great feed for Pete, and he might as well have a podcast, because him and James Frantoni really carry it. Again, we're on 97.5 HD2 WWDBAM.com. And my thoughts about it are just that Ben Simmons, you know, I've tried so hard to want to like this guy. You know, the guy came back, he took his COVID test, and I thought that he was going to, like any normal person would just try to practice, it doesn't have to be buddy-buddy with these guys, but just be professional. Just do your best. You're probably out of shape anyway. You know, you're too busy sitting in Wimbledon watching, you know, with your supermodels. But the fact that you come in and he wouldn't even greet the security guard. So to be so rude that you wouldn't even, like, say hello to the staff there, they didn't do anything. It's such a simplistic thing to blame the whole city of Philadelphia for his own shortcomings. To be a guy who's just concerned with himself, and it's just incredible. And so I wanted to like him. I was hoping all he had to do, in my opinion, and obviously with Clutch Sports, he's getting terrible advice. You know, in my opinion, if this guy was my client, I would tell him to come in. I would just, for 30 seconds, he could turn things around. He could say, look.
Hey, Doc, I'm gonna stop you there for a second. It's not so much he's getting bad advice. He's just not listening to them. They kind of advised him what was going to happen and how this would go. He's gone rogue on them. He's not listening to them. He's not really listening to anybody at this point.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, so Mike, just to mention for those on Facebook, so Mike Vito makes a great point. He said he's not listening to anybody. And what kind of – look at Coach Dace. Look at the lightning reflexes when faced with Dr. Lewis, who is now in the house. So much to talk about that we don't really know. In other words, we don't know exactly what's in his ear, but – you'd think that a professional agency like Clutch, that these guys would advise him. All he had to do, this is what my idea would be. If he came in and he said, look, you know, I've really been conflicted a lot. You know, I've got a lot of negativity after last year. I'm not happy that we lost. You know, I could have done better. Like, all he needed to say is, I could have done better. I've been working on my game. I am who I am. And you know what? I don't know how long I'm going to be here, but during this time, I would at least do my best. I'm going to try to assimilate. That's like the most minimum thing that you'd ask an elementary school kid to do. And this guy, maybe like you say, Mike Vito, maybe he is going rogue. Or maybe they're just telling him, Ben, we love you. You're so good. You don't, you know, they're just stroking him. They're just basically doing that. Dr. Lewis, you were listening to us coming in.
There's a
welcome
statement.
To Rover Sports.
Welcome. It's good to be here. There's a statement from Ben. He said, I just feel like this team hasn't put me in the right situation. Giannis just won finals MVP without a jumper. I could produce at this level in a new environment that didn't cater to a guy like Joel so much.
So that was just breaking news right there?
I don't know if it's breaking, but it's
pretty close to it.
Well, I want to comment.
Well, let's hear about that.
I want to comment on your comment before we leave.
I want to comment on your comment on your comment.
Your comment was Ben Simmons and the Clutch agency is handling this wrong.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you I disagree 1,000,000,000%. Wow. Because Ben Simmons, his objective is to leave Philadelphia. His objective is to get paid and get traded. And he's doing a spectacular job of trying to get traded from this team. Because Ben Simmons, his goal is to leave this city. He doesn't care what any of us think. He wants to get paid, and he wants to play basketball in another city. And just like James Harden and just like Jimmy Butler did, he successfully is getting his way out of Philadelphia. Look at Anthony Davis, what he did in New Orleans.
Is he successfully getting his way out?
He quit in New Orleans, and Ben Simmons will get traded. I'm telling you, Ben Simmons is handling this. It's very unprofessional, but Ben Simmons is doing what he wants to do, and Clutch doesn't want him here anymore. So what Ben Simmons doesn't want to play here, why should he pretend like he wants to play here? I think there's a disconnect there. I don't agree with the action because I'm a Sixer fan and because I believe in being loyal to your teammates, but for Ben Simmons personally, I think it's in his best interest to get them to trade him.
What's that telling other teams? Like, who wants that? Obviously, somebody's going to take him eventually. But the way he's acting and all like this and going about, I mean, it's just completely handled from day one, all wrong. Who would want that?
In addition
to that, it is a distraction on their team.
You don't think the Sixers are trying to trade him now quick?
No, not at all. In addition to that, Spencer. Not at all. They're going to sit on him right now. at minimum, he's here till December 15th at least.
With the direction,
I don't know, the language of the CBA and whatnot, he cannot be moved until probably the minimum of December 15th, if not later than that. But he's going to sit here. He's going to lose out on his money. The only reason he came back, because he thought he was going to get paid, because, oh, I'll come back because they're not paying me because I'm not there. Now that he's here,
exactly.
But they called his bluff, and he can only be suspended for one game, Mike.
Not true. The NBA could step in, because if he comes back on Thursday and pulls the same thing, the NBA can now step in. The league can step in and can suspend him, I believe, a minimum 10 games.
He's going to practice a lot better because Doc Rivers, because also the NBA.
Spencer, you're wrong.
I talked to the PA. They have film on practice, and the NBA PA. You can't just suspend a player without pay because the NBA PA gets involved in that case.
Okay, go ahead. Let's get comments. Let's let Dr. Lewis speak.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, Spencer is completely wrong here. I mean, it's not just what other teams think. It's what other players think. Coach Day sent has inside information where he reported that the players are getting pissed off at him, basically. I mean, he's losing respect among other players. This is bigger than anything we've ever seen ever. This is bigger than Anthony Davis. This is bigger than T.O. This is bigger than just a guy wanting out of town. He's losing respect amongst his peers, and nobody wants to play with him. No other team wants to play with him. So I don't know what he's forcing right now. And Dr. Bruce is right. He is being mismanaged here. He is being given bad advice by his family, by Clutch Sports, by everybody that's close to this guy. This is bad. I mean, you go in and if you want to trade, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Going up against a coach who is the most player-friendly coach maybe in the history of the NBA and getting thrown out of a practice like that is just unconscionable, Coach. What do you think?
Well, Spencer, just to reiterate, I've spoken to a couple agents that represent various guys in the league, and they think Clutch Sports could not look any worse. In fact, they love it because they hope that they can attract other clients of that magnitude that they've gotten because they look so stupid the way they're handling things. Rich Paul looks like a complete moron. First of all, if they're going to coach this child, because he's not really much of anything, they've done it the completely wrong way. I honestly believe it was premeditated today. I think he probably saw the amount of media that was going to be there to hear him speak, and he's like, I got to find my way out of practice beforehand. To be honest, this is not what you want. Every player, once the season gets started, Doc, you want to be there with your guys, okay? The season's about getting started. The best part about the NBA right now is we're talking about two guys that aren't playing. Kyrie Irving, because he's not getting a vaccine. He's now standing up for all the people that aren't getting the vaccine. And in Philadelphia, we're talking about Ben Simmons. But as a team, you want to be ready to go into the season and say, okay, these are the guys I'm going to grind with for the next 6 or 7 months. And the only thing everyone's talking about is, hey, have you talked to Ben? What's Ben like in practice? No one's talking about the development of Tyrese Maxey and some of the other players that have come on board. It's amazing.
No one's talking about Matisse Thybulle and his development and how he played in the Olympics, how he was excelling. But no one's talking about these professional athletes.
Matisse Thybulle played for Australia team. Right. It played great. And these two young guys are really playing great. And I'm glad to see them. And again, Friday night, they're playing the Brooklyn Nets, you know, and Durant's going to be playing, Harden's going to be playing, it's going to be great. And I don't think anybody's going to miss Ben Simmons, but it's a shame that these two players are taking everything out of the room. And the fact that Simmons, another thing that broke over the weekend was the idea that Ben missed, that he was so frightened to play in Game 7 of the Hawks. He made up some excuse about a masseuse and that he tried to just get out of playing the game. And you know what, really? I have to juxtapose this with something. Again, in Rover, the reason we're Rover Sports is because we can seamlessly move from one sport to another. The exact opposite of this is Lane Johnson. And the way the Philadelphia Eagles handled the Lane Johnson issue, and I had a post on my Facebook page. This was a case where our good friend Al Thompson, who's just a wonderful guy, insider. He knows all the linemen. He was a lineman himself. I called Al every other day, and I just said, what's going on with Lane Johnson? And the Eagles kept it so confidential, so private, so respectful, honestly, guys, that Al said, I have no idea what it is. Nobody is saying anything. In fact, they don't know what it is. But whatever it is, it's really bad. It's like really bad. So when I heard it was really bad, I was thinking some bad things. I was thinking maybe this guy has a substance problem. Maybe somebody he loves, maybe a close relative, a girlfriend. Maybe somebody's critically ill. Like, I just thought, my mind just ran wild. Why isn't Lane Johnson coming back? And when Lane came back, it wasn't an easy thing, but he said, listen, he goes, I want to tell the world I've suffered from anxiety and depression. And this is a big, strong guy. And he said, I want to be an example for everybody else that it's cool, Dr. Lewis, Steve, my dear friend, I see people with psychiatric problems and anxiety, a panic attack, that hurts more than a broken arm, all right? And for him to come out and admit it, and just like Brandon Brooks, his line mate, Brandon Brooks suffered silently with anxiety, and then he got treatment, and he's been good. As far as we know, yeah, he's had some orthopedic problems, but by coming out and admitting that, and let's say Ben Simmons came out and said, look, you know, I believe he truly has an anxiety, a phobia. There's a mental component to this, but the fact that he's playing it all the wrong way, he's totally just shutting everybody down, and he's basically brazenly, you know, giving the middle finger to his coach, Glenn Rivers. Like you said, two of the most likable people in the league are Joel Embiid. Everybody likes Joel. Like, he's funny, he's goofy. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you can't get along with Joel, Joel has done everything to get along with him. And Glenn Rivers is known as a player's coach. And the fact that he's taking a complete scorched earth here, he might as well have not come back at all. He's not going to get his money. That's the nice thing, Spencer, is that
he will on Friday.
That's if he's back with.
He's got to come back. He's got to play. And believe me, there could be a lot of eyes on him.
What happens if he gets traded? Then what are you going to say about Simmons and Rich Paul? And then he's going to play well on another team, and we'll forget this whole saga.
No, you won't.
Just like Jimmy Butler.
Let's pause. I want to ask you a question. Give and take. Okay, I want to know what you define, and I want to hear you. I'm not going to cut you off, nor anybody. And then we're going to all comment. I want to know what you consider playing well. What is this guy's ceiling right now? Without any extra work, without any psychiatric therapy, what is playing well? Is he in the fourth quarter going to start hitting mid-range jumper? Is he going to actually take the ball? One thing
is he going to go to the basket and not be afraid of getting fouled?
Let me just say one thing. I know I'm not letting you talk.
Yeah,
I'm going to ask you a question before I finish. Why, being a season ticket holder, going to almost all the games all the time, or at least watching him on TV, the Ben Simmons thing is he shows up big for the first quarter. He drives the lane. He shows energy. He gets fouled, and you always say this is Ben Simmons. This is the real Ben Simmons. And even in a regular season game, when we get to the fourth quarter or the second half, he totally disappears. So what is he? Is playing well? Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say this. So
what's playing well? Answer the question.
No, but I'm going to answer your question. But first, you have to let me speak for 20 seconds about another subject. Jimmy Butler, we can all agree he plays really hard. We can all agree he's a great teammate for the Miami Heat. In Minnesota, he was a terrible teammate, and he sabotaged practice, and he was horrific, and he did exactly what Ben is doing. So I believe Ben Simmons, when he leaves Philadelphia, he will get that fresh slate that he needs, and I believe that he'll be a very solid player. I'm going to predict this year, Ben Simmons, right now, his statistics this season, 17 points, 8 rebounds a game, 9 assists, which is really, really good. Borderline all-star player Ben Simmons. That's what I'm going to say. Wherever Ben Simmons is playing this year, when he's engaged, he is that good. So that's what I think. I think he's going to play very well, especially in the regular season. In the playoffs, in the fourth quarter, he will not play well. But in the regular season, he will help garner a really good playoff seed. He was a big reason last year why the Sixers were able to win the regular season. He has won playoff series before, and he's had a very decent career here in Philadelphia.
It's over. He can't even engaged. Engaged to what? He can't even get engaged to Kendall Jenner. He lost her.
Think that the next team he goes to, he's not going to play
Here's
well?
Here's what you're missing, okay? And Dr. Bruce said it very clear. There is a mental component, and I disagree with how the Eagles handled it, by the way, because everyone was coming up with different reasons as to Lane Johnson, whether it was drug abuse or lymphoma. We heard family. So they could have somehow said differently. But I understand what your point is, that they respected him. But you're right about Ben Simmons. This isn't Jimmy Butler, who is loaded with talent, who was just being a malcontent and wanted a new team, or James Harden or Anthony Davis or any of these other players. He has a real psychological problem here. This is a guy that had an open layup to a dunk and was afraid of getting fouled. There's a real problem here. So what Dr. Bruce is saying is, what is it that you're seeing that you think is getting better? It's getting worse. This is a kid that came into this league that said, you know what? I can win. I don't need to shoot. And the Sixers enabled him. Brett Brown enabled him. Josh Harris wanted to pal around with him and be his buddy and go to parties, and they enabled him. Everybody enabled him, and the league caught up to him, okay? Brad Stevens caught up to him and knew how to start defending him, and they took it to the next level. Scottie Brooks took it to the next level. They were fouling him. They just took him out of his game. The focus is going to be on Ben Simmons shooting wherever he goes. He gets traded tonight. He's going to be a nervous wreck on the basketball court because everyone's going to be looking. He magnified this shooting issue to such an extent. Charles Barkley's beating him up about it on a national level. And what he's done is not being malcontent. He's being an arrogant idiot.
Thank you for not. Well, thank you for substituting the word.
I know.
I want to hear. I want to hear, Coach. Yeah. Let me explain for you people who are new to Rover Sports who we are. We are a group of diverse people. And by diverse, I mean we play different sports. We are blessed to have a D1 college basketball coach, Josh Dacia, here, who has worked with all kinds of people from all kinds of environments, some underprivileged, some real rich, some poor, every color under the sun. And you, and I've heard so many stories, largely from coaches who worked with you, about how you were able to get the best out of these people. And how you often employed tough love. And I want you to speak extemporaneously now.
Doc, I mean, one thing, tough love comes with trust. And you know what? In all honesty, I don't think Ben Simmons trusts anybody. I really don't. Because the way you employ tough love is the players actually start to trust you. I think Ben Simmons is absolutely a lost cause. He really is. He doesn't want anybody near him. The people that tell him how great he is all the time, you know, those days are over. I mean, it's hard to follow. You know, he loves social media and loves him some Ben, but when reality's come down, it's crashing, and he's burning right now. And, you know, Spencer, I look at Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, he's an alpha male. The dumbest thing the Sixers ever did was let him go, you know, and he didn't want to be here because it was Ben or Jimmy. Well, guess what? It should have always been Jimmy. Let's be honest. It should have been Jimmy and JJ instead of Al Horford and Tobias, because I think we'd be a lot further along. But Ben Simmons, to be honest with you, he's a lost cause, Doc. And you know what? I got to agree with you. I think the Eagles handled the Lane Johnson situation as professional as possible because they let him come out and say it. Everybody in that building knew something was going on. Many of his own teammates probably knew that there was anxiety, there was depression. So I guarantee this, because of the respect that Lane Johnson's coveted from local beat writers, they probably knew it too. I mean, Howard Askin for weeks was saying, I could say it. I have an idea of what's going on. I know for a fact there are other guys within the organization. They knew it. They knew what was going on, and they wanted him. They gave him the respect and satisfaction to come out and say, let Lane decide it on his time. And you know what? With mental health, and it's a very delicate issue, Doc, I mean, he gets his head beating on every play. I mean, offensive and defensive linemen, it doesn't surprise me with the amount of contact they have with their head every play. I mean, that this is happening. I have a tremendous amount of respect for what Lane Johnson did. I'm glad Ben Simmons did not come out and say, oh, it's a mental health issue, okay? Because I'm sorry.
I'm sorry to laugh, but it would have been funny. I almost can't envision a guy that arrogant as admitting he's never admitted anything. I mean, he's never acknowledged. He's always been the most stubborn guy. Like he believes that merely bringing up the ball and passing is adequate to be an all-pro guard, and just to feel like he doesn't have to shoot. The Sixers bent over backwards to put shooters around, to put Seth Curry, Danny Green. Why did they sign these guys? Just to appease him, because they know he wouldn't shoot. So they surrounded him, Korkmaz, all these guys.
Why did they get rid of
Jimmy
Butler?
But there's no appreciation.
To appease him.
And because Jimmy Butler wanted the ball. And they got rid of a guy, and they every time this city, or going to all the games, this city is bent over backwards. Even through Game 7 of the Atlanta Hawks series, people were cheering him. They were hope, wishing that he did well. And this team did nothing but support him till the end. And now he's blaming all of his woes on this team. And we know, for somebody who has a problem within themselves to merely think that they're going to change their GPS setting, to go to a different geographical place and everything's going to be good again, I think that's magical.
Yeah, well, you know, this people change in life, and Ben changed the last few years, and it's sad, and sometimes it's difficult to predict when a guy will change. I really think he liked Philadelphia. I mean, that's why he signed that contract to be here with these fans.
It's not true. He signed here to get the max contract to eventually get traded. He didn't sign here. He wanted to be here.
No, I think that he wanted to be here.
No, he got the most money. Spencer.
No, when he was with Brett Brown. When did he sign that contract? 2 years ago?
No.
When did he sign the contract?
2 years ago. But it had nothing to do with
anything. I don't think it's premeditated.
He didn't want to be here. He wanted to get the max money.
He liked Embiid. He was a much better team. He was never this crazy.
He was always this crazy. And Joel Embiid never got along.
He was never sabotaging practice. Why is it now?
Because now he's really
disgruntled. He's never acted this way, Steve.
No,
this is out of character.
Because he has no choice now. Now he's trying to save face. He's an arrogant, like
Steve,
Dr. Bruce
he
said.
Always would guard the best defender. He
he didn't.
He would always hustle.
He guarded players that were 5 inches, 6 inches smaller than him. He didn't guard KD. He didn't guard LeBron.
All those steals in the regular season, don't think he was trying? That's ridiculous.
He
was an all-star player. He tried. I'm telling
you. I love you, brother. You're wrong.
He's 25 and people change over their lives. And that's the reality of it.
Good. He can change somewhere else.
And that's the reality of
it. We were on this show and I said, I don't know if he'll ever play basketball again. And I'm not
confident. You said that after last year.
Right. I don't know that he'll ever play basketball again.
You're not that far off, I don't think.
I'm not that far off.
Honestly, you said he's damaged. Like, he's not saving face at this point. I mean, he's only doing himself more damage.
He looks like an imbecile.
I said, obviously, talent-wise, he adds something to somebody's team.
Yes.
This off-the-court stuff. Who wants to deal with that? Like, who's going to want to deal with that, the locker room?
Mike, you're 100% right. And let's talk about what we talked about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about leverage. We talked about leverage. We said, and I said, the Sixers had no leverage. It's getting worse and worse and worse. The Sixers have, would you agree, they have less leverage today than they did a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
They were offered Malcolm Brogdon a month ago, 2 months ago, and Daryl Morey, who has to be held to the fire. We have to talk about him. Yeah. We have to talk about Josh Harris. We have to talk about the Sixers organization and how they've enabled him and how they're really responsible for this guy. Because this guy told you who he was.
Organizationally, Steve, yes. Daryl Morey, no, because he was new to this.
Daryl Morey overplayed his hand.
The entitlement and the coddlement was already done. That damage is already done. That's not on Daryl Morey. Daryl Morey's got the problem here to try and figure out the best value he can get for the Sixers. Obviously, they're holding out for what they can get with the draft picks, a Damian Lillard. Obviously, that's out the window at this point. Damian Lillard has not come to the Sixers. We can forget about that pipe dream of hoping anything. At this point, Daryl Morey is going to sit on this because he's not just going to move him to move him. They're going to stand tall and make a point because the NBA, honestly, the NBA has got the Sixers back in this at this point. Because they don't want to set this precedent forward for players to do this down the road.
Daryl Morey screwed up. Yep. He's the more he waits on this, and he could have traded for, he should have made an overwhelming trade for Harden last year. He should have traded, figure out how to get it done. He should have.
That I don't disagree with.
He's overplayed his hand and what the value is. His job was to get in there. We all knew it in Philadelphia. Coach Deshi knew all about his deal when we drafted him.
The only counter I have to the Harden deal, though, with what he pulled down there, that fat suit, whatever you want to say, how he did it, because he was honestly a setback to the Nets last year. If he did what he needed to do, which Ben's not doing now, if Harden would have done what he needed to do with the Rockets, leading in until they could have got him out of there when the Nets got him. Mike, the Nets could have won and should have won the championship.
I have 2 points about Mike.
Mike's missing my point.
To Mike. I agree with you, Steve, on this. I think if you're talking about Deal or No Deal, a show that we all watched, the deals in the summer, I believe with Steve Lewis completely that the deals in the summer were better than they are right now. So I agree with you, Dr. Lewis, on that the Sixers should have pulled the trigger in the summer because the deals were better when he wasn't embarrassing himself in front of the whole world like he has been doing this week. With James Harden, I'm not sure that the Houston Rockets, that don't exactly have the best relationship with Morey, I'm not sure that they ever would have traded
him. You overwhelm with an offer, they get it.
Sure.
You get two first-round picks, you would have got him.
I want to follow up with what you're saying now. Like, I do understand where you're coming from. I just think that if they would have made that deal with the Rockets for Harden, with the condition that he was in, hold on, Steve. With the condition that he was in and what happened, what he was, he couldn't stay on a basketball court in New York, in Brooklyn. So if you would have brought that here with the condition he was in, you don't do yourself an advantage anyway, because if he's not on the court healthy, he's doing you a disservice to the team
anyway.
Forget
James Harden. You're missing my point. His job, Daryl Morey, the minute he arrived in Philadelphia was to understand this team and get to know this team unbelievably well, better than the Rover Sports team, better than anybody. If he had watched the Showtime documentary on Ben Simmons, he would have saw that this guy had no heart. He would have saw what Coach Daishi said years ago and told me I was wrong. He needed to remove Ben Simmons from this team last year, period. Daryl Morey has been a failure. Daryl Morey failed to get Kyle Lowry, instead brought in George Hill. He should have figured out, you bring in Kyle Lowry last year, we win the championship. With the Nets going down, we would have won. Daryl Morey has been an absolute failure in this organization, and the fact that he overplayed his hand and now we can get nothing for Ben Simmons right now is Daryl Morey's fault. Period. End of story.
I agree with you, Doc. I really do. I think Daryl Morey's a fraud, and he's never won anything, and people praise him for getting James Harden. You know, he's been here a year. He should have been able to figure this out.
He brought in George Hill. That was his big addition.
Come on. You're telling me the Rockets weren't, just because they lost to Golden
anything?
State?
They won nothing. They won
nothing. They went to the conference finals.
It's about the chip. It's about the chip.
Is the coach Quinn Snyder, is he a horrible
Why
basketball coach?
Why did we tank for 4.5 years? You told me it was not okay to be a 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th seed. We sat at this table, and that's what you told me. You told me that we had a tank to get these players. What All do right. we have to show for this tank? We don't even have Markel Fultz. We don't have Ben Simmons. Now we have Joel Embiid, who wasn't even a target. Ben Simmons was. Daryl Morey made completely.
Well, that's Colangelo, and we got unlucky. Well, the Sixers were right there, though. They had a chance to stay put and draft Jason Tatum. They didn't do it. They had a chance to have Mikal Bridges was on
You're
the
missing
roster.
My point.
Mikal Bridges was dismissed from the roster for no reason. That was maybe the worst move ever made.
But
getting those picks, it could have worked.
The point is, he needed to talk to Joel Embiid and say, hey, Joe, what's up with this guy? Is he a fit on this team? Joel would have said, get rid of him. They already made a mistake by getting rid of Jimmy Butler. Like Dr. Bruce said,
it's Ellen Brandt's fault for that day in July.
Forget the day in July. They should have got rid of Ben Simmons the minute he got here. He overplayed his hand. He could have had Malcolm Brogdon and maybe who else. He has nothing now. We have nothing. We're going to sit
right
on this guy. He's going to the best thing they can do right now is pay him, let him go back to L.A. and rid themselves of this circus right now, and that's it. End of story.
Tobias Harris.
They're not even going to pay him at this point, though.
They have to pay him.
They don't have to pay him.
You don't think that's going to be tied up in litigation? It's going to be
the
NBA is
going to back the Sixers. They don't have to pay him.
We'll see.
Do you think that – who do you think's the best player the Sixers can get now? Do you think Brooklyn's trading Irving to anybody?
No.
Okay. Why would you? He has no value right now.
Well,
if he does, it's a stalemate. It's a complete stalemate.
He's eligible to play in every other state, just
except
like Bradley Beal's not.
Can't play in California.
But you're asking what we get for Ben Simmons?
Yeah, what
I don't
do we
think
get?
Other players want to play with him. I think everybody knows he's a cancer. You sent a text today that said the players are pretty pissed off at him, right? Yeah. On his own team?
Only
Who's
going to want
to play? Who would want to play with him? Nobody likes him. He's an arrogant whatever word you want to use.
Minnesota didn't like Jimmy Ever, Steve.
Different. Jimmy Butler's an alpha dog. Jimmy Butler is a winner. Jimmy Butler's going to take the ball and win you games. What's Ben Simmons going to do? Ben Simmons passed up a dunk because he was afraid of getting fouled. He's got a serious mental problem, he's an arrogant. He's not even contrite, Bruce.
Steve, I could compare Ben Simmons. I believe that his game could be like a Draymond Green because Draymond can't shoot.
Stop.
But I believe Ben Simmons is a really good defender. I believe he passes really well and he handles the ball well. I believe he's a good player.
Ben Simmons
league.
May never play in the NBA again.
I believe he's going to be a very good player for somebody.
I hope
league.
He doesn't have a mental problem where he is in deep depression and something, God forbid, happens to him. I hope not, because I've never seen anything like this before. He showed up at practice with a cell phone in his pocket and sweatpants yesterday.
Right. I think
and he was doing it just because he had to make the money. It was unbelievable. Unbelievably.
Well, he didn't fake an injury. I thought we all thought he was going
to
fake an injury, and that would have been the smartest thing for him.
It might be the most
disrespectful at this point.
It's the most, Bruce, to turn it back to you, it might be the most disrespectful. I don't think anybody could argue it was one of the most disrespectful acts to a professional team.
And that's why nobody wants to play with him.
Well, the fact of the matter is, he's not showing any personal decency. For me, I keep coming back to the fact that when you show up at the stadium, the security guards, the people in the parking attendants, if you're a person and you're a person, those people have not, you should be a gentleman. You should be a professional. You're supposed to be this erudite Australian guy with his great upbringing. Why can't you just be nice to people? In other words, you might, and to not say words. So literally the security guards say, how you doing, Ben? And he basically walked past him without looking at him. And I don't feel sorry for him. But again, I don't think this guy's such a narcissist. He's not going to hurt himself. I mean, if anything, he might fly to Cannes. He might lay on a beach and, you know, might charter a jet. You know, that's as much hurting as he's going to do. But, you know, I think it's a terrible situation. So I think that can't blame one person. You can't, you know, you want to blame the coach. You want to blame the general manager. I mean, this is just a very bad situation. If any of us were in that situation, being a GM or an owner, it's just unparalleled. Now, let me make one example. Kyrie Irving. Now, I remember Kyrie Irving's situation a lot. Okay, he was with the San Antonio Spurs, and he had a quad injury.
Kawhi.
Basically, Kawhi Leonard. I'm sorry, I said the wrong guy. Kawhi Leonard basically had a quad injury, and he just wouldn't come back. He just was rehabbing it. There was another guy on the team at the time who had a much worse quad injury and came back. So San Antonio went nuts. Like the whole, you know, and he was a very beloved player there. He won a championship there. Yep. And like here, if you remember that situation with
him. I think it was Parker, one of the older. It was one of the veterans.
It was Parker who had a quad injury. And this guy just was in California rehabbing, and he wasn't coming back. And people said, and he looked like he turned his back on the Spurs. And it looked terrible for him, and he wasn't saying a word. So if you remember, I mean, when things happen in the present, like you really think about it. So what happened, though? He basically went to Toronto. He had a new start. Now, again, we're not going to compare the skill set because I think Leonard is one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
Always did.
Maybe ever.
But the fact that he played that hand, he didn't want to get hurt again. He didn't want to come back. And he just basically wrote it out. And, you know, and when you have a hamstring injury, it's hard to say. So I'm saying there have been situations similar to this. Steve.
But you know the difference between Kawhi Leonard and Ben Simmons? The same difference between Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons? The same difference between AD and Ben Simmons and any other player that had demanded out and wanted out and acted like a petulant little child? The difference is they're all superstars and Ben Simmons is not. That's the difference. Ben Simmons hasn't earned the right to be a petulant little child and demand his way out of town and say, this is where I want to play, like the other players did. He hasn't earned that right. End of story. I mean, you're talking about two different talent levels.
Let's say he was a guy who would shoot mid-range jumpers. The fact that he engaged himself in this manner to just basically not, you know, I think even if he was a great player, the fact that his team wanted to fly out to Los Angeles, you know, they're not asking him to fly here. They're going to literally take a plane and fly west, get jet lagged, and he wouldn't even meet with them. So I think he is a jerk of an unparalleled diminished character. And I can't think of – I'm not sure if I can think of a professional athlete. I'm sure we can. There's plenty of arrogant people. But
not like this.
But just the way he's handling it here – and the fact he came back, he took his COVID vaccine, he showed up at the arena, just the whole thing has become like a circus. It reminds me a little bit of the OJ slow ride in that you can't not watch this. If you're in Philly, I don't care who it is. I have people who came into my office, patients today. I saw a bunch of them. I don't care if you don't know anything about sports. There's nobody who's missing this thing. And it is a circus. It's a charade. Wow. And everybody's wondering how it's going to end. It's just like a dumpster fire.
First of all, we don't know exactly what the agent and what his parents are telling him. And that's also an excuse for him. You're making an excuse for Ben. You know what? Ben should take ownership of his actions. And if an agency tells you to do something, you don't necessarily have to do it. You're a grown man. You know, you're a professional. The other thing about Ben Simmons, too, it's a little like – I think we've seen this a couple of times, though. Like, Kawhi was a really good example. Rodgers in Green Bay was also a complete circus fiasco. Brett Favre in Green Bay. So there's other examples, too. But this was a crazy practice story. There's no doubt about it.
Examples of superstars, which we keep going back to. Right. We gave him this money to think that he was going to be a superstar. He's a fraud, okay? He's done nothing to change it, all right? And the best part was today, like, it just boiled over. I mean, I'm reading Doc's quote. He said, I thought he was a distraction today. I don't think he ever wanted to be here, and we're going on with practice. Well, they've got to move on. They're tired of answering questions. Hey, guys, we've got a season to start, and we start tomorrow night. Then we got Brooklyn when we come home. Will Ben be there? Doc, would it be? I was fortunate to go to a couple games with you when Markel Fultz was sitting out, and there was this woman that was sitting in front of us. I mean, she was on fire. She was roasting Markel Fultz. and right across to the point where he noticed it. Can you imagine if he's sitting on the bench tomorrow on Friday?
He won't be.
I don't believe he will. I don't believe we'll be in the arena. I believe what the Sixers have done is they played this as best they can. We want you back. We want you back because they knew this was going to happen. And guess what? He'll be suspended. The league will get involved. And they'll say, you know what? They don't have to pay him right now, Doc. And that's what's going to be
You're right about one thing. If the Sixers don't want him here.
No.
And if they wanted him here, they could have played this differently today, Bruce. Doc Rivers, if he really wanted Ben part of this team, and they're saying publicly the right thing that they want him here, but if they really wanted him here and they saw he was going through his tantrum and being a petulant little child, would they have made it such a public circus and told him to go home? They would have just said, you know, all right, you're excused. You don't want to do the drill? I mean, they would have just let it go if they really thought
he was. They could have. They could have protected him a million ways. Or if this wasn't a complete scorched earth, they could have said anything. They could have said he's going for conditioning. You know, they didn't have to say he was hurt. They could say he's going for conditioning, but the fact that he created such an acrimony that Joel Embiid, they ask him, what do you think about it? He just said, I don't have anything to say. Like, Joel Embiid is getting his head wrapped around the regular season as he should be. Playing the New Orleans Pelicans is not easy. They're a professional team. You're playing on the road. You want to get off to a good start. Then you're playing the Brooklyn Nets with Harden and Durant. And you know what? To their credit, Harden Durant played all those meaningless preseason games. Of course, the game, I had tickets to the game, and I thought there's no way they're going to play these guys. But of course, I didn't go, and of course, they played those guys. So I truly believe Friday night, for many of you, I've got an engagement, so I can't go on Friday. But all of you, you know, you're gonna see two great players, and actually three. Embiid's a great player. And again, Marcus Hayes, a great article that just... You know, I like Marcus. He's very controversial, but I do like him. I don't always agree with him. He just put out a really good article at Philly.com basically saying that he's untradeable, just like you said, Steve, that you're going to have to wait till like December, and the Sixers are just going to sit on him, and they're going to just scorch. They're just going to keep finding him, and this is going to be as ugly as anything. And I think Marcus is right.
I bet he'll probably be at the game, you know, and not wearing his jersey.
He will not be in that arena.
There's
no way. They threw golf balls at
Lane Kiffin.
What are they going to throw at this guy?
Well, no, the NBA NBA fans are not. They might have
to. You want
to
bet?
Because NBA fans, the NBA will say to those fans that you can't come back for several years.
Yeah, they
did install a no booing policy down at Wells Fargo about a week and a half ago,
Spencer,
which is nuts.
Are you serious? No, let's hear about that, Josh. Tell us more, Josh. No booing policy?
They do not want. This is a joke. I heard this last week from a few different people. Wells Fargo has put in a place where they don't want you booing or being detrimental or to the players or coaches.
Is this Sixers related or Flyers and everybody in general?
Everybody in general. I can try to pull it up.
Although the Boo Birds were out Friday night when I was there at the Flyers home.
Are you kidding me? This is Philadelphia.
But while you're pulling that up, Spencer.
That could be illegal. Isn't that your right to say what you want to do?
Yeah, I'm calling
that. I'd like to see the first guy, and I'd probably be that guy, who get escorted out of the arena.
But Spencer, I want to address one thing.
What if a guy's name is Phil Booth and you're going, boo?
That's true. Spencer, you try to compare Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and all these other players. Right. When have you ever seen a player be present at practice and completely try to humiliate and undress a coach the way Ben Simmons did today? That's never happened. Where the coach said, "When I do this drill," and he said, "No, I don't feel like doing it." When did you ever see that before?
I think it's happened because these are athletes. You don't think it's ever happened in sports?
Not like this. I mean,
totally
you're
has. It's just not public.
But you're comparing.
I can't remember that.
Terrell Owens probably did.
No,
what is a guy literally been suspended? I can't remember.
Diva wide receivers.
Josh.
Did not do a drill?
Curious. Do you remember a time in a professional league where somebody who was healthy refused to participate and where he needed to be suspended on the spot?
In a drill.
No, but I mean, Doc, I can tell you this. When I was at Memphis, we had a top recruiting class that came in with Will Barton. We had a player, I'll say his name, Jalon Kendrick, who was a McDonald's All-American. And from the moment Jalon walked in, Jalon all of a sudden did seem very disinterested in being a part of the team, to a point where he would go out of his way to get thrown out of practice. He would be disrespectful to assistant coaches. I can remember one time during a drill, he went over and slapped the backside of an assistant coach, got into an argument with a couple players. Ben Simmons' actions over the last couple
of
days.
But on a college, a D1 college level, still a big stage. Was it reported widely in your?
We knew about it.
Your media network is smaller.
No.
But it just was never like this.
Also, Jamar Chase did not play for LSU last year. He sat out the whole year. How about the Duke player?
But you're missing
the Duke player quit during the regular season. He quit on his team completely.
But I'm not talking about quitting your team. You made a comment that you're bringing up Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. I'm telling you, this guy said no to a coach who asked him to do something in the middle of a practice. What professional athlete?
Kawhi Leonard, when Greg Popovich.
Kawhi Leonard didn't show up. That's different.
Fights between players and coaches in practice.
To blatantly tell your coach, no, I'm not doing a drill?
I'm telling you, Josh, you've seen coaches in college. You absolutely know that it's happened before, haven't you, Josh?
Got physical altercations? Never really saw a physical altercation, Spencer, but
refusing to do a drill and just being lazy.
And then what you do is this. Here's the difference between college and professional.
How do you handle that? So let's take a step back to a very smaller scale. You got a player who's kind of dogged in practice. He's a prima donna. You're coaching him. What mechanism? Because a lot of us are coaches here, and you know, to this day. You're a professional. How did you handle that?
Well, one, you rip the player. You pull him aside to see if anything's wrong. Okay, but two, then all of a sudden he continues to do this. You know what you do? You punish the other players, and you say, you know what? Everybody get on the line, okay? Except you, for example. You don't have to run. We're gonna run for this, okay?
Oh, that's smart.
And the players themselves start policing this issue because now they're getting pissed off at this guy who's, you know, they're running for. Wait a second, because why am I running for him? He's the one dogging it out. So then you have them police it. Now, Doc, I've got to be honest with you. I've been on teams where it's gotten physical with those players. Now, all of a sudden, they're attacking them. I never minded that, you know, because they've either come around or they bought in.
Right,
you know?
That's sports. That's sports.
But that's patrolling themselves. Yeah. It's almost like when you were, and I'm going way back to elementary school, when there was one jackass in the class who would be talking, and then you'd have to write, I will not talk in study hall. So everybody in the class had to write that like 500 times. That was going way back.
I like that. Let's
But you know
bring
what happened
that,
is? So what do you do? It engendered right peer pressure. So everybody in the darn class would come down on the guy and said, come on, man. You know, it's freaking study hall. How do you blow study hall?
One guy has his phone, right? Everyone has to put their
phone
in.
There wasn't any
phone.
There was no phones back then.
Oh, yeah. You played Pong.
Pong wasn't even there.
I'll tell you one guy that's never seen anything like this. Gary Payton was interviewed today on one of our cousin stations in Philadelphia. I don't know if you heard the interview.
No, tell us about
that. Well, he said he never saw anything like that today. He said his time in Philadelphia is 100% done. He said just basically what we talked about tonight, but he's never seen a player, especially a guy like Doc Rivers, who's the most, and he played for Doc at Boston, the most laid-back, easy, player-friendly coach ever, to refuse to do a drill. He never saw it. You're talking about players that are holding out, but this guy is at practice.
Peyton has been there around forever. Peyton's Gary the Glove.
Hall of Famer.
So
Seattle.
He's seen
Hall of
so
Famer,
much. Imagine how
ever.
Many thousands, tens of thousands of hours
but he's
offended. Never seen it.
And he's offended by this. And when you talk about a Hall of Famer, you talk about Charles Barkley being offended. I mean, who in this NBA league would want Ben Simmons as a teammate now, Josh?
The generation of Gary Payton was just, it was an incredible generation, though, like Kidd and Payton. And you're absolutely right when you go back to those days. I mean, they played tougher basketball.
Here's an interesting question just for everybody. Has anybody in the league defended? I mean, I know people have said good things. Since this happened, has anybody come out and defended him? Steve,
didn't Danny Green defend him?
Yeah, they did, but
a long time ago.
No, he did.
Last, like right after the end of the season, Danny Green said, "I think these fans could be tough. I think you need to support them. You booing doesn't help." But that was so long ago.
And Doc Rivers defended him. He called him a treasure.
How about Kevin Hart? Kevin Hart defended him.
I don't think anyone's defending him now. I don't know.
I don't think Kevin Hart basically is palling. He's a Hollywood guy. Kevin says, "I love Kevin Hart." But Kevin just said, you know, he likes him. He's one of his buddies. But Kevin Hart didn't get into the substance of the matter at all.
Well,
Josh?
Doc, can you imagine this? If you're Doc Rivers, you've defended this guy forever, and now he's trying to embarrass you in your own practice today. And you know what? You get to a point where how much more can I actually take of this guy? I called him a treasure. I had to publicly almost apologize to this idiot, okay, over the summer because to get him back, he's refused calls. It's absolutely – you get to a point where – I mean, you got to pull out your man card at some point.
Great point.
You know, I've got – how much more can I do? And the only way they can get to this guy is if they take his money away. They suspend him. You know what? He's being insubordinate. Can't do it anymore. I've got a job to do. I've got to – because let's not forget this. In my opinion, Doc Rivers may be on the hot seat this year. They went to the first round, and they lost. He had all this –
Well, he's the king of blowing 3-1 up leads, right? Nobody's lost more 3-1 leads than Doc Rivers. But that is a great point that no one's bringing up. The number one defender, and he did defend Ben Simmons. I mean, they came at him and said, till the end, they finally lost the game. And they said, can you win with Ben Simmons as your point guard? He said, I don't know. But until that point, he was defending him. And basically to the point where, Bruce, he was basically saying to all the reporters and everyone out there, you don't know anything about basketball. I do. This guy's a treasure. What do you want? I mean, this is a guy that's not shooting. He's a point guard that's refusing to shoot. And he defended him. And what kind of person is Ben Simmons to dump on him that way, to address him that way in public? How do you do that? Thank God Doc Rivers did the right thing for once.
There's a question, actually, for one of – we want to say hi to Lenny Keltz, who's an Anson out of Mexico. Great guy. He's logging into Bruce Gross on your Facebook. Love Lenny. The great thing about Lenny is he's in a beautiful environment where he doesn't – he can walk around in a bathing suit. That's why we love Lenny. But Lisa from Reading said, excluding Ben Simmons – let's talk, guys, in the present. You know, the season is starting tomorrow against the New Orleans Pelicans. Who is going to be playing point guard? How do you advocate running? Let's talk about with the current roster. There's some exciting players on this team, and let's talk in the present. I like Lisa because we do love the Ben Simmons. That's never going to go away, certainly not tonight. But I just want to go around and hear – how would you strategize it? Would you play a rookie? What do you think, Josh?
I love Tyrese Maxey. I love what he can do offensively. I think he's going to get a majority of the bulk playing time. I've loved what I've seen with Isaiah Joe. He's knocked down jumpers. All of a sudden, guess what? You know what? Joel Embiid sacrificed a lot as well. So now he's going to get actually play in the post a lot more. I think he's always coming out and shooting threes. He's obviously known that he can do that. But, Doc, now more than ever, he can play inside and not have to come back out to knock down shots that Ben was passing up on.
Well, I don't know if he's going to do that. I don't know if he's going to play inside. But we'll see. But that's a good point. But, no,
Shake Milton's
a little hurt. He's hurt.
He's banged up.
Yep. So they do have some ball handling challenges right now, no doubt.
But let's talk about the starting five tomorrow.
I think Tobias is going to do some ball handling as well.
So, Steve, starting five. I think Seth Curry is in the starting five. Would you agree?
Definitely.
So Seth, Tobias, Feibel, I would put in the starting five, and Embiid. And then that leaves one spot.
I think Tyrese is.
So Tyrese, Curry, which is small, but then you have Toby and Feibel and Embiid. So it's tough. I mean, you're asking Feibel to guard a big guy. You know, Zion's on that team.
Zion's not playing tomorrow night.
He's not playing. That's a shame. Is it hurt? He's out, still.
And it's regular season. I still think this team is good enough to win a lot of these games, whether Simmons there or not, because it's regular season
basketball.
If
Simmons is not there, they're about a 4 seed. You know what's mind-boggling to me? You know what's mind-boggling to me is how everyone's so happy that we're taking his money away. Oh, we're first finding him, and that's great. And who's the real loser here? We are the fans.
We are. We have a space where there's no player.
Who cares about the money? It's like T.O. Everybody was so Andy Reid and Jeff Lurie are holding his money out. We were the losers. That team would have went back to the Super Bowl if they just gave him the money that he deserved, and now we're doing it again with Ben Simmons. Everyone's jumping on the Sixers doing the right thing. No, the Sixers screwed this up from the beginning. From the minute they drafted him, drafting him was a mistake. The minute they drafted him and enabled him, Brett Brown, all the coercing and enabling him, and Josh Harris wanting to pal around with him and loves the Kardashian thing and being a celebrity, the Sixers, this isn't good. This is not good. Everyone, we're celebrating this today like this is a good thing. We have a major hole. This team is now a 4th, 5th, maybe 6th seed. We're no better off than we were before the tank. We have no championships. You're a season ticket holder. You blew money for 4.5 years watching subpar talent winning 10 games a year, and you trusted the process. You trust – where are the Hinkyites?
I never really trusted it.
Where are the Hinkyites? Oh, come on. Where are the Hinkyites now, right now, okay? Right now we have nothing in this whole process. We got Joel Embiid, who is a great, great player, and that's it. That's it. And we're a 6th seed, 5th seed. What are we going to be? Huh?
Well, I'd rather grow with this team than have that bubble.
So you're a man of principle. You're a man of principle. I like it. See how many championships that gets you.
Well,
listen, we're not going to watch the team. I think that Howard Eskin had an interesting comment today, and he certainly is adverse to the franchise. It has been for a while. What's the only way, unfortunately, that the owner is going to pay attention? That is, if people stop showing up to the game. That's how you get their attention, because this ownership group, like most, I don't know. I mean,
I think there's two big pieces that people want to see in Joel and Tyrese at this point.
And guess what? If Simmons is in the arena, it'll be so the ratings will be unbelievable.
I think it's going to be so hard for, trust me, there's a lot of people that want to see that, to be able to boo him because he's so fragile and he wants to be a baby. I don't think he's going to give them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
I just don't think there's any way.
It's disappointing. I want to see it.
I just don't know how this thing could turn around. In other words, I think it's such a scorched earth situation that, and this guy had every opportunity to be at least moderate, and he hasn't been. And I think it's just going to continue to be ugly. It's going to be a complete distraction, and it's going to, you know, there are plenty of bad teams in the league.
Should we go to football?
We are going. Actually, we're at the top of the hour right now, so we're going to take a break. We are Rover Sports. We're going to football after the break.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor. St. Jude is helping us put away our fears. We have an amazing team that fights for the best outcome for Braxton. He has the best chance here. I don't have to worry that how much is that bag of fluid gonna cost me? Can I afford it to save my child's life? The donations, they're paying for me to live every day with my son, be stress-free, and enjoy every day with him. I wish there was a word bigger than thank you, more close to the heart, because thank you's not enough. They've given me hope. They've given me my son.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Eleanor steals your heart. She was diagnosed at 5 weeks old, a type of leukemia, and it's associated with Down syndrome. Being able to come to St. Jude was a blessing and the best place for her. Talking to the doctors and nurses, they were on top of it. They got this, we got this, it's gonna be okay, and we're gonna get through this. Here, it's like a celebration of life. There's so much great stuff happening. The doctors and nurses are her best friends, and you can tell that they love her, and you could tell she loves them, and that relationship is just amazing. We're just so grateful for them.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
First Responders Children's Foundation takes care of the children and families the brave ones leave at home. Help us help them. Text BRAVE to 24365 to learn how you can help first responders in your community today.
Welcome back to Rover Sports on Tuesday night in the Delaware Valley. We want to thank a big block of fans from the University of Maryland, Denton Hall, Jordan Lewis, Ed Freds, and everybody at Bruce Grossinger Facebook. I'm Bruce, the sports doc, with Spencer G, Coach Josh Dacey, Dr. Stephen Lewis, Michael Vito. We're now switching, as we are Rovers. We're stopping on a dime, and the topic in question is, what's wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles? Bullet points. Doc, you're up.
A lot of things wrong with the Philadelphia Eagles right now. Mostly, it starts with the coaching. It starts with the quarterback. It starts with the personnel. But mostly, the way I identify it, it starts with the general manager and how he should be held accountable for the position this team is in and his failures. And there's numerous failures on this team right now, Bruce.
Yep. And my feeling is this coach, I agree with Seth Joyner and a lot of people that said this offense is an elementary school offense. Basically, you can't really judge Jalen Hurts, in my opinion, because if you put him in the RPO the whole time, you never put it behind center. There's no threat of a run. They only ran one time in the first half. And, you know, it's almost like this coach has, you know, it's sad, but he has like some kind of dementia in the sense that at the end of every game, he realizes, I'm going to hand it to Miles Sanders. Wow, Miles Sanders is running for 5, 10, 15 yards. And at the beginning of every next game, they forget about it. And they don't. And basically, it's one read. And according to Nick Sirianni, he said that this quarterback has at most one read. So that means he's babying the quarterback. He's played for other, you know, he's been a coach for Andrew Luck, all right? And for other good quarterbacks where they're traditional pocket passers where they have to go through their reads. And this guy, Jalen Hurts, has never asked to go through his reads. It's almost, it reminds me a little bit of Buddy Ball, Buddy Ryan, where he didn't really pay attention to the offense at all. What was it? Randall Cunningham, this is what happened. He would just go back, scramble, try playground. To run, try playground. To pass. Playground. It was total playground ball. And Randall was an exceptional athlete, you know, incredible arm, like a rocket arm. They called him Rocket Man when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Jalen Hurts is a lot of things, but his assets are his leadership, his work ethic. But does he have the arm strength? Does he have the accuracy to be better than a top 50% quarterback? Because you're not going to win a championship without an elite quarterback, and that's my concern.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I go back to Howie Roseman, and you got a guy that you traded who is, I don't know, top 5 right now for MVP candidates, and Carson Wentz, who's having an MVP-type year already. You're laughing, but I mean—
I am laughing because they are 2-4.
Whether they're 2-4 or
so
not—
So he's carrying him.
He's carrying. He's doing an exceptional job. He's playing—
He's not bad. You're absolutely right.
He's right now arguably one of the top 3 quarterbacks.
The thing about Carson Wentz is, would he have accepted this city? Because I think he turned his back on this town.
He turned his back.
So you couldn't keep him?
I'm not sure it was the city. I believe Ben Simmons has identified our city and has called out our fans in our city. I don't believe Carson Wentz. In other words, I think the root of the problem with Carson Wentz, it was rooted in Howie Roseman. It was rooted in the draft of Jalen Hurts. It was rooted in the dysfunctional relationship with Doug Peterson. Apparently, Wentz used to, you know, they had a terrible relationship at the end where, you know, Peterson would call a run and Wentz would audible and pass it every time. So I don't think if you were to interview Wentz, and again, to Wentz's credit, well, he didn't say anything bad against the city. He didn't say anything. Now, again, Ben, you could say he didn't say anything either. But I honestly am surprised. I must say, I am surprised at how well Carson Wentz is playing. And I'll admit it. In watching him play here, I thought he had no mobility. He had no ability to go through his reads. And I thought that he was wildly inaccurate. And what I'm seeing this year is with Frank Reich, with adequate protection, a very good offensive line, with a very good running game, and with good wide receivers, even last week I saw Carson Wentz throw a perfect 50-yard strike. So I didn't think he had it. I thought he was toast. I thought he was done. So I'm surprised about that.
Go ahead. I mean, he did play the Texans last week, the Dolphins. And, I mean, the Titans had a big win last night. But don't you want to see him do it versus better competition?
I do, but the inherent aspects of playing quarterback, the footwork, the arm strength, the ability to go through progressions, I saw that he had it back to a large extent.
You know why.
In accuracy. I know you're playing the Texans. Well, you asked me the question. Whereas I haven't seen that, honestly, if I put him side by side, I haven't seen the accuracy nor the arm strength with Jalen Hurts. I haven't seen the footwork, and he is a young guy, and he hasn't played a whole year in the league, and I don't know. Obviously, Nick Sirianni is, you know, I don't know if anybody could really do well in this offense.
Let me actually tell you what could have saved everything for the Philadelphia Eagles. And nobody has this insight, all right?
Okay, go ahead.
It's just like the Dallas Cowboys, for example, or like the Atlanta Falcons had Dan Quinn and their offensive coordinator was Kyle Shanahan. Back once upon a time, the Dallas Cowboys had Sean Payton as an offensive coordinator.
That was
Bill Belichick was a defensive coordinator. Okay, Kellen Moore is a much better coach as a head coach than Mike McCarthy is as a head coach. The Eagles had Frank Reich as their offensive coordinator, and instead, it would have been maybe it would have taken complete balls to do this, and it never probably would ever have happened. But choosing Doug over Frank, if Frank Reich was leading this offense with Wentz, you're seeing Wentz play so well because of the brilliance, it seems, of Frank Reich's system, and also because the Colts GM drafted some linemen and some running game, too. So I think Frank is to give credit also here with how Wentz is playing well, only throwing one interception.
Again, you had a comment?
I think coaching coaching only goes so far, Spencer.
Yeah, it does.
I really do. You know, Wentz looks really good. He looks comfortable in the system, and he's playing well. Let's not forget, they don't have star talent, real star talent. They're a young and up-and-coming team, Doc. They're not expected to do that much, right, which benefits the Eagles because if they do well, they get a higher draft pick.
No great receivers.
Quite frankly,
there, right,
though, I'm a little surprised, Bruce, at your comments that you're being surprised that Carson Wentz rebounded this way in 2016 in his rookie season.
MVP.
First three games, he was a guy that was poised in the pocket, confident. He's tall. He's smart. We talked about, and he was very mobile. But he was leading receivers. He was. Do you remember the Pittsburgh game? His first season.
Listen, I remember.
Second season, he went on
Steve
to an MVP.
Bruce thought that he lost it, though.
I understand, but let me finish my point. So let's get back to Howie Roseman. You had a guy that's drafting Sidney Joneses and making mistake after mistake in the draft and not building the team to surround him. You went into last season knowing your offensive line was out. You knew that Brandon Brooks had an Achilles. You knew Jason Peters was injured every time he passed wind. You knew that this team had no depth in the offensive line.
Wide receivers.
And they go and draft a guy that was basically a Taysom Hill type prototype is what they really wanted, a gimmick type of guy in the second round that was projected in the third, fourth round. I sent Mike, our sister station, Mike Missinelli, went through with Tyrone Jackson, two guys I respect so much, with the pre-draft scouting report on Jalen Hurts. One of the things that shocked me was that they said that the wide receivers at Oklahoma and Alabama were not allowed to run their fastest down in their normal routes because Jalen Hurts couldn't reach them. I mean, this is what is he doing now in the pros? Same thing. We saw it, Bruce, with Devontae Smith. He can't reach him. Howie Roseman had a decision to make: Nick Foles or Carson Wentz. He just signed this unbelievable contract. He could have got a boatload of draft picks and things back from Carson Wentz. He decided that he was going to stay with Carson Wentz and let Nick Foles go because he was being a good guy. And he stuck. But you made a commitment to this guy financially. You made a commitment. You got rid of our Super Bowl hero, and you don't surround him with the talent. A coveted second-round pick. You're bringing in a quarterback that was projected in the third, fourth round. That's what turned with Carson Wentz. It was Doug Peterson's play calling, but it was also the fact that this organization was not committed to making Carson Wentz a superstar franchise quarterback. That's what turned. And he didn't behave like Ben Simmons. I was disappointed in how he overall his reaction to things, but he wanted out because he saw no future here.
No, you're right. And Bruce, it's time for you to talk.
No. What I was saying is, I was at the Rams game. I was there in Los Angeles when Carson Wentz's knee just got destroyed. He tore all of his ligaments. He had a terrible, terrible knee injury. And since that time, up until this year, really, I've seen that the guy, his whole thing was his ability. I remember that against the Washington Redskins. He was like a squirrel. When everybody collapsed on him, and he came out like a squirrel and ran. He looked just like a squirrel. But a very big squirrel, I must say. But I thought that he lost his arm strength. He was terribly inaccurate. I thought he went full Bobby Hoying. I actually thought that he wasn't going to come back. So I admit that physically, obviously, it takes an ACL a year or two. He's come back, and he shows enough mobility. He's showing pocket presence. And I'm frankly surprised, and I don't dislike him personally. He's really a good guy, a lot on Twitter. Like, he does a lot for charity and for disabled people. You really got to like him. He's
a
really religious, very Christian guy. So you can't compare. You really can't compare him to Ben Simmons. I don't know Ben Simmons' philosophy.
Wentz is a tremendous character.
But I'm actually coming around. Like, there's a lot of people, like, on our Facebook page who are big Wentz. Todd Schnitzer, biggest Wentz guy. And you know, I got to hand it to you, Todd. You were right. I just never thought he would come back. I never thought he'd be that good.
Well, Bruce, you know what, though? It's only four games, and you
six.
Still
six, Spencer.
Six, well,
Spencer.
It's only six. Six games.
It feels like four, though.
But it's not like Wentz. We have to see if Wentz can start winning playoff games, and only time will answer that question.
Speaking of time,
but I'm gonna
guess
say,
what time it is.
I wanted.
It's time for the Fearless Picks Top 7.
How about CeeDee Lamb playing with Jalen Hurts too? It's tough to evaluate quarterbacks.
Mr. Michael Vito. Mr. Vito is going to tee up our top 7.
Tell us our records from last week.
I didn't get picks in last week. I didn't have picks from Doc, and I didn't have picks from Charlie. So
last week was a bye week for us. For the Rover Cup. But this week we're going to
I like that. We'll build in a bye week. So the four of us still have a bye week to build in then at some point.
Okay. Oh, it's all bye week.
I'm taking a bye. I'm taking a bye this week. No, I'm not.
No. Let's just go. Let's just watch it. This is what everybody loves to hear. They love to hear the fearless picks. Take this to the bank. Michael, go ahead.
So this week's a little tough. Picking the 7, but I think I got the 7 best ones I could do. We'll start with Thursday night's game. We got the Broncos going to the Browns, and the line on that, I believe,
3.5 in Cleveland.
Yep, 3.5.
I think it's
a 3.5 point line for now. It's in Cleveland.
So the Broncos are getting 3.5.
3.5, but
what?
They're down Chubb and they're down Hunt. They both have been ruled out out for Thursday night's game.
So the two main runners for Cleveland. Well,
Deontay
that's really
Johnson will be the number one back for Cleveland Thursday night.
Okay. This is really a bounce back game for somebody. So I'm going to go first. Cleveland, Denver have been arrow pointing straight down. They've both been doing poorly. Teddy Bridgewater's back. Cleveland's really been disappointing to me. They're at home. They're missing their two top runners. I'm just going to go with the gut feeling. I'm going to go I'm going with an emotional victory. For the Browns and Baker Mayfield, I'm just going to take the Browns in this game. Spence.
It's a good pick. I mean, the public pick's going to be all over Cleveland. That line's very telling that it's only 3.5 because you'd think it'd be 5 with the embarrassment of Bridgewater. This game will be a low-scoring game, the under. I bet it's going to be under 40 points. But Cleveland will win this one by a touchdown.
Steve.
Yeah, actually, Spencer, the line did open at 5, and it's been dropping. It's at 3.5 now, and I do think it's going to be a bounce-back game. It's the bright lights Thursday night. Baker Mayfield's going to win this game and cover Cleveland.
Josh?
I'll go the Broncos.
I knew you were going to do that.
I think
contrarian.
The team goes 3-0 to start. They go 3-3. They drop the last three. You know what? Cleveland's in trouble. So.
Appreciate your opinion. Mike?
Yeah, Cleveland was a pick for me as a winner for the AFC North as a preseason future play. Love the start they had. The injuries are catching up to them. And honestly, I said one thing you guys are overlooking, talking about Baker. We don't even know how healthy he is right now. He was rolling around the field with the shoulder injury and all. Oh. I think Chubb and who's
Hunt,
the other guy?
Hunt?
No, not Chubb, but the defensive guy.
Hunt. For Miles for, Garrett?
Miles
Garrett. No, for Denver. They're going to get after him.
Chubb. Von Miller.
Von Miller, thank you. They're going to get after him. They're going to cause a lot of problems. I'm going to take the Broncos with the points.
And Baker's arm, if it's Case Keenum, you're in a lot of trouble.
Steve, you're with the Browns?
Baker is listed as questionable right now with the shoulder.
Wow.
He'll play.
That's telling.
He'll play, though.
Next game, please.
Tough kid.
This will be a good one. Coming off of a huge Monday night win, the Titans are hosting the big bag Kansas City Chiefs.
That's going to be a great game
that's
to watch.
Game.
What's the line?
The 1 o'clock kickoff. Kansas City is a 5.5 point favorite on the road.
Oh, wait. Kansas City's going to Tennessee.
Correct.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead, Steve.
Again, Tennessee, and we didn't even talk about whether Sean McDermott made the right move. I think he did. On Monday night, you got to go for the win on the road. But Tennessee is starting to do it right. They're using Derrick Henry appropriately. They're going back to the basics. Love Mike Vrabel's coaching. Tennessee is going to win this game. They're going to win the game. They don't even need the points.
Josh?
You know, every time I go with the Chiefs, they lose. So I'll continue to go with the Chiefs until they prove me wrong, until they continue. Maybe they'll turn it around. I mean, I just have a hard time seeing Patrick Mahomes looking as bad as he is. I think he just bounces back.
He is looking bad, though, huh?
Tennessee, actually, well, other than that AFC Championship game 2 years ago, the Titans have had good historical success in Nashville against the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Achilles heel of the Kansas City Chiefs is run defense. And you're going up against maybe one of the greatest running backs we've ever seen in our lives, and King Henry, who I believe would be great to see the guy get some MVP recognition.
Tennessee.
Well, this is my
feeling. Interceptions for, by the way, Mahomes.
This is my feeling. I think that obviously Kansas City Chiefs, you're not going to look past them, but Tennessee really played a very physical game against Buffalo. Just incredible hitting. It was ultra-style football. It was such a win.
It was a great
game. Think even though they're playing the Chiefs, I think they are due for a letdown, even at home. And again, I still believe in the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think they're having a mediocre season. And I think they're just due to have a breakout game. So I think it's going to be a great game to watch. I'm actually rooting for the Titans because I love them. But I've got to go with my mind and not my heart. And I'm going to take the Chiefs. Mike?
So the way I looked at this game coming in, even with this Buffalo game Monday night, how do you neutralize a good offensive team? You run the ball, keep the ball away from them, which is the Eagles you would like to see do, but they don't want to run the ball. You have the best running back in football in Derrick Henry, and it's not even close. It's not. That dude is a freak. If you saw that first touchdown, that 76-yard run, I mean, for a dude it's the size of a linebacker as a running backer running away from the people the way
that
he
fast.
Did last night.
Yep.
It was the fastest run.
27
fastest,
miles an hour?
Yeah, by
he
a
was,
running ball
he's
carrier
He's 250
this year.
Pounds. He's going 27 miles an hour. He and his ability to cut, not only raw speed, but his ability to cut back, it's just exceptional
Incredible.
To watch him.
I bet you Miles Sanders can run well, but we won't ever find
out. We just don't get to see it.
He can run well.
I'm taking the points, and I will go with an outright win because they're going to neutralize them. Kansas City is not defense is not good. You run that football. I mean, the dude, just, you feed Henry the ball. It's a success to them winning, and I'm going Titans outright.
Interesting.
Titans
line,
outright. Mike Vito for all of you on Facebook.
What did the line
is going
say?
With the Titans
the line,
outright.
The line went for
take
four.
The money line.
The line went
you
for
don't
four
even
and
need
to
the points
minutes.
According to
but
Mike.
That's good. I guess we're on the
people are picking the Chiefs. So we're
no, but we're not on the public side,
all
which
right.
is good.
Next game coming up, another 1 o'clock kickoff. This is a doozy in the AFC North. The Bengals travel to Baltimore. Baltimore is a 6-point favorite.
Okay, I guess I'm up for this one, so I'm going to think on the fly. So the Bengals are coming. They're getting 6 points against the Ravens. I would say that the Ravens have just been unbelievable this year. They have it all together. I love Joe Burrow. Again, I'm going to pick against a team I really like. But I think Baltimore, they're just rolling. I see Baltimore and the Bills in the AFC Championship. I see, and I think the Cincinnati has some growing to do. It is in Baltimore, right? Baltimore?
Yep.
Really good fan base, I must say, even though I don't really like the team. I'm going with the Ravens in this game. Spence?
I concur. I love, I mean, this Ravens team is tremendous. They lose every running back. It doesn't matter. The ownership is great. The coach is great. And the quarterback is special. I had question marks, you know, the first couple of years. Like, is this sustainable? This guy is unbelievable. And he's a winning machine. Lamar Jackson tied only one other player, Dan Marino, as the most winningest quarterback.
I believe he passed them, didn't he?
Yep. It's unbelievable.
Most wins under the age of 25.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who do you like, Mike?
Baltimore big.
I'm not taking away anything what Baltimore's done this year. Fantastic team. I think Lamar's taking a huge step forward after the step back last year. This past weekend, I think, was a product of an early game with the West Coast coming east. Cincinnati's been unreal. So if Joe Burrow healthy, you got a decent running game there with Joe Mixon and all. That defense is okay. And I don't know how you stop them receivers. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is just an absolute freak. Threw a ridiculous block that led to a Mixon touchdown last week. I do think Baltimore wins, but I'm going to take Bengals with the points.
So a lot of points. Mike's taking the Bengals with the points. Josh?
I think this is a make it or break it, a really big game for a young team in Cincinnati to go in there and knock them off. So I'm going to go with Cincinnati. I think they're going to be up for this one. That's a
good one. Wow. This line went from 6.5 to 6. Money's going. You know where the money's going. But I agree with Mike. I think Cincinnati wins. I think it's a closer game. So I'm going to take Cincinnati plus the points.
Go ahead, Mike. Next game.
All right. So this one's not going to be close in the spread here. I said it was a struggle to pick some of these games, but we got the Chicago Bears taking on the world champion Buccaneers. They got to go to Tampa. It's a 4 o'clock kickoff. Yep, 4:25 CBS. It's a 12.5-point line in favor of Tampa Bay.
Doctor, we'll let you start this one.
Interestingly, the Bucs have not been a team that's been covering against the spread.
They really helped us last week.
I mean, they just haven't been covering. The line has gone all over from 13 at 13.5 back to 13. I think the Buccaneers are going to cover this game.
Josh?
You know, Doc, it's hard to go against Tom, so I'm going to say Tampa.
He hasn't covered all year.
This is the game that breaks Matt Nagy's back, and that's why Justin Fields going against a Todd Bowles team on the road with the rookie defense and a team that loves turnovers, I could see some pick sixes for the Buccaneers.
I'm afraid to make this chalk and make it, you know, you could say boring, but I'm not picking the Bears, and there's not enough points out there for me. So I'm going to take the Buccaneers, and as much as I want it to be a contrarian, I just can't. Mike?
I don't love this game.
An older team like this, I think the extra couple days off is going to do Tampa Bay well. Chicago having to travel after a tough divisional game with Green Bay and being owned by their daddy once again and Aaron Rodgers, and what he had to say to the fans was pretty interesting. But I think this is a romp. I think Buccaneers are not on track, but I think this is one that makes you really feel good about Tampa Bay going forward, and they're going to blow them out by about 14, 17
And I'm
going
to predict the ghost of Charlie Bowles will pick the Bears.
Josh, you're on the Bucks.
We'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
Josh, you're on the Bucks?
Yeah, I'm going Bucks.
He's going to love the Bengals. He loves the Bengals.
So their next game, please.
Yep, Sunday Night Football. Our old friend, Mr. Carson Wentz, traveling to Santa Clara, taking on the San Francisco 49ers, and a 3.5-point line for the Niners.
Is it 3.5? I have 4. Is it 3.5 now?
I'm saying 3.5.
Okay.
This is going to be an interesting game to watch.
I just like these kind of interdivision games. They're just fun to see how they stack up. I must say, this would be my weakest pick. I don't feel like I have because these teams are very different. As much as I've been anti-Wentz, I'm gonna continue the Wentz. I'm gonna basically jump on the Wentz wagon for the first time, this year, and thinking that San Francisco has been kind of discombobulated, so to speak, if that's a word. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna take the Colts in this one.
I think that San Francisco, off of a bye week, they're very desperate in their division. I think the pass rush of Bosa can really get to Wentz. And I really like the Niners pick on Sunday night, Doc.
Josh?
I'm going to go with Carson. I think Carson is going to be having a lot of fun. And he looks like he's playing football the way he's capable of playing. So I'm going to go. I think he's going to go out there. And I don't think San Francisco is very good right now. So I'm going with
Carson. I've earned the right to go last on this pick. Who do you got, Vito?
Who do you got, Mike?
I'm taking our boy. Give me Carson. He looks good. No picks now.
He's our boy now.
All right, my boy. Yeah, Colts.
Well, you know, Bruce, you know this because we have a dream team text, group text.
We
and
sure
one
do.
Person has never wavered on Carson Wentz and said he would have a bounce back year MVP type season. I never wavered on this kid. I was really hurt that all this went down. Carson Wentz is on the upswing. Frank Reich, love him as a coach. The Colts will win this game outright.
All right, I agree with that one.
All right, we'll go quickly on this one so we can get to the Eagles. Monday Night Football, Saints, Seahawks. Saints are a 5-point favorite at home.
In New Orleans.
No, it's in Seattle.
No, it's in Seattle. Is that wrong?
It's in Seattle.
It is in Seattle. I'm sorry, my apologies.
Saints are 5-point favorites on the road.
Saints are 5-point favorites on the road.
After a bye.
Ooh. What do you think, Steve?
That is a tough game. That is a really tough game. That spread is crazy, huh? But Seattle obviously has some holes there. That's a tough game. I'm gonna take the Saints.
Wow.
And give the 5.
Wow. Taking the Saints away all the way, the 12th man.
You're going against the public there,
Josh. Go ahead. What do you think?
I'll ride with Doc. I'll go with the Saints.
Saints are coming off a bye.
Why? It's still Seattle. I'm banking on the home field. Seattle played nicely in Pittsburgh.
Too many points.
I'll tell you.
I'm gonna get burned.
I'm not worried. I'll tell you. I like Seattle at home. I watched Geno Smith, and I was the last guy who liked Geno Smith. He actually played very well. Mm-hmm. He looked strong. He threw the ball well. I like the fact that Russell Wilson is really acting like a coach. So yeah, I'm taking Seattle.
As we run down, we're going to do
Eagles Raiders. Tell us the spread. It's at Darth Vader Stadium.
4 o'clock kickoff, and the Eagles are a 3-point underdog.
Classic.
Let's go quickly around the horn on this one.
The Raiders.
Steve's going to be upset at me, but I won the Eagles last week covering. The Eagles are going to win this game this week. The Raiders are not that good of a team.
Okay. I think this is the lack of the week. I think the Raiders are going to destroy the Eagles for all the reasons that they have a professional defensive coordination team. The Eagles are incapable of adjusting, and they're just going to get blitzed. And they're playing away in Raider land in Las Vegas at Darth Vader. And I love the Eagles, season ticket holder for decades. I can't pick them. I think they're just terrible. Steve?
I agree with you. The Raiders are going to win this game. I don't know if it's the lock of the week, but maybe it is the master lock of the week. Take the Raiders and give the points up.
Yeah, I haven't taken Eagles once yet this year, and this isn't the week I'm taking them.
That's Raiders. Great. Well, I want to thank everybody. Thanks, Mike Vito.
Did you pick?
Oh, I'm sorry,
yeah,
Coach. Go
ahead. I'm taking the Raiders.
Raiders.
I love it.
Thanks for everybody. Good nighty. Good sports.